This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by Baby Maury. Thank you for making our show a possibility. It means so much. It really does.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are. Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional
ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say. How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Hi.
Hello. Here we are back again.
Welcome back. Here we are. It's a beautiful day.
I know. It's like I finally feel like spring is coming. I took a walk this morning, an impromptu walk, after I took my kid to the deli. Mm-hmm. But then as I started to take the walk, I was like, do I take this walk? Because I didn't have a bra on. And then I was feeling all weird about not having a bra on. And then I was like, but I've got a jacket on. And I went through this whole thing in my head. And then I was like, you know what? Lots of people don't wear bras. You're going on this walk. And
yeah.
I went on the walk.
And it felt good, right? I walk my dog without a bra every morning.
It felt weird. I don't know if I can commit to good.
Well, if you have a sweater over it, nobody knows.
I had something over it that was a little looser, so I didn't feel. But it's like, I don't know. I think maybe I like to hold them in place. I don't know if I like freewheeling.
I understand that. I mean, I wouldn't go out without a bra, but yeah.
No, it's not for me. I mean, listen, no. You know, do you. It's just I always had the big girls, and I don't know if I felt good with them flying around. But that's just
me. If you want to take more walks, I have a dog that loves to walk.
No, thank you.
So Camp Highlight. Let's talk about Camp Highlight.
Oh,
Robin.
This is the first year for Rose, right?
Yes. She has been waiting. So for those of you at home, Camp Highlight is a camp that's close to New York City that is solely for children of LGBTQ families or children who identify as LGBTQ. Am I getting that right, Robin? You've been many times.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
It's a queer camp, right? Queer ally, queer friendly camp. And Robin's kids have gone for years. Rose's cousin Edie has gone for years. She has been waiting, dying to go to this sleepover camp. And she's finally old enough. She's 8 years old. She is signed up. She is going. And we had our onboarding meeting with the head counselor, Jackie. She meets all the new campers.
Yeah.
Like, so sweet, right? Because it's not until, when is it, August?
Yeah, August.
But we had our meeting with Jackie on Zoom. And Jackie's awesome. We interviewed Jackie on our live stream, so yeah. I know her. But she was so good with Rose. Rose just absolutely loved her. She cannot wait for this camp. We got off the Zoom, and she was, I mean, she didn't stop with the questions. Well, what do you think? Well, so what do you think is going to happen? Like, am I going to be in Maxine and Edie's house? Like, how does that work? And what do the rooms look like? Like, it's nonstop. It's cute, but it's also kind of slightly jarring.
Oh, my God. And then
she was like, Mom, did Jackie send the packing list? Did she send the packing list that night? This is what she said. Because I want to start packing. Can you ask her for the packing list? Because Jackie said we'll be sending a packing list before camp.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And she literally for a week, she kept bugging me for this camping packing list so that she could start packing. And I was like, we're not packing yet.
You're like, we don't even have shorts in our rotation yet.
Like, it's like exactly. But she's so very excited. And I am slightly scared she's really not ready for this because she's going to leave. She's going to get there. It's going to be so fun. And then the night's going to hit.
Yeah, but she's like, there's counselors. There's like Edie's going to be there. Maxine's going to be there. It's like she's going to have plenty of people. She'll be all right. I was worried about Henry that first year he went for the same reason. And he was totally fine. And our favorite person ever, Jackie, texted me and was like, he's doing great. Don't even worry about it.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
The best. And also, like, you guys are going to get a week with only one kid in the house.
I know. I don't know.
That's amazing.
I don't know, man. He's the hard one right now. So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Too bad we can't get them both out of the house for a bit.
No, Four more years.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good. I'm excited. So that's happening.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm in the middle of booking summer camps. It takes forever, for God's sakes.
It is such a thing.
Well, right. but we should move on because we've got an amazing interview today with AIM. But we have to say before we do that, a special thank you. We've got three new Patreon members this week.
Look at you guys. Coming out in full force for us.
Yes. So we're going to say thank you to Rachel Townsend, Anna Robinson, Amelia Mansfield. Thank you all for joining us on Team Patreon. You're helping us make LGBTQ family content. And if you want to join them, you could just be a part of our Patreon community. You're going to do a good thing. And then you're going to get bonus content. And at the gestational carrier level, you're going to get interviews of most episodes dropped a day earlier on video, unedited, without commercials. And you just head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you can join us.
That's so many good things. So many wonderful things.
So thank you.
Thank you. Very excited.
Woo.
Okay, so let's talk about AIM. What a great story.
Yeah.
We have shared, obviously, if you've tuned in with us, and I think you have, we've shared tons of stories where we have happy endings, but we don't always talk about when the baby doesn't happen or the relationship doesn't also make it. And so we thought that it was really important to share this AIM's story.
And AIM wanted to share it. And that's, I think, what was so great. But we do want to say one thing going into it. This is an intense interview. AIM talks about how they went through a miscarriage in detail, about a breakup. And there's some talk about suicidal thoughts. So we just want to make sure you're aware of that before listening. If that is not for you, go check out another episode or go check out our live stream if you haven't, you know, move over there because that's going to happen in this episode.
Yeah. And we're really thankful to AIM for sharing your story.
When they were ready. And that's what's so important about it. As soon as they were ready to share it, because we waited. All right. Helen.
Oh. Helen, wake up. Helen. Okay, Helen. I'll just roll it myself. I'm just going to roll it myself because Helen's not going to roll this tape. Hi, AIM.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
AIM.
I think this guest appearance is 3 years in the making.
Is it 3 years?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't realize that. Wow.
We're going to get into that.
AIM, we're so glad you are finally here with us.
Yes.
Thank you for your patience and your understanding while I navigated trying to figure out if I wanted to do this or not.
Well, you know, that's something that we feel really strongly about. Like when we were talking before, when we were initially talking and you were like, I'm just not ready to share this yet. I was like, are you kidding me? Don't share it then. Like that would be the worst thing in the world if we brought you in before you were ready. Or if you didn't want to, I just think that'd be such a bad experience. And that would be so opposite of everything that we stand for. So we were glad that you came back and said, I want to tell my story now.
And we're glad you're ready. And we're glad you're feeling comfy. And that's what we AIM to do.
And we're glad Amy, I see what you did there, Jamie.
Do that, but it was really special what just happened.
Well done. And we also, we aim to do the elevator pitch.
Yes, we do. So that everybody can understand why we're so excited to have you.
Yes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. On your mark. Get set. Go.
So my name's Aim. I am a sign language interpreter going into American Sign Language and spoken English. So my pronouns are they, them, and you can use my name, Aim. I'm sure we'll go more in depth about this whole thing, but, and it's blurry about the years and things like that. But a bit ago, I was trying to get pregnant, and 3 years or so later, I think I'm ready to share. And one reason to continue to heal myself, and then also to share with everyone who is going on this journey as well, or thinking about going on this journey. If anyone can learn anything from my experience, I would love that. So,
boom.
That's why I wanted to do this.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. I think folks out there are really going to love hearing your story, and it's going to resonate with many. So
I hope so.
Let's get into it.
Why don't we start? One of the main reasons I think that we've been alluding to, and I think it's important for people to know, is that you were walking down the path of trying to have a baby with a partner, and ultimately that didn't work out. Like, I believe you miscarried, correct?
Correct.
And then the partnership dissolved, not because of it, but in part because of it. And then now you're like in a healing space. So can we take it back to where you were and how you started planning and trying to have a kid?
Sure.
That's a really big open-ended question. So start wherever you want to start.
Well, I know that I have always wanted to have a kid, and I always thought that I would. I thought that I was fertile, which I guess that wasn't the case. And my older brother, he's also gay, and he and his husband, I don't think, want to have kids, or they decided they're not having kids. So a big part of me wanted to kind of be the one to be able to give our family another little being. And also at the time, my grandmother was alive. We call her Mom. And I would say out of anyone initially out of the family, she was the most loving and accepting about John and I both being gay.
Wow, Mom.
There was part of me that wanted to produce this new being before Mom left us.
You're like, I better get this baby out.
Yeah, I think I was like, okay, let's do this. So we decided to go the route of picking a sperm donor and going to a fertility clinic. Mm-hmm. So we first went to, I'm going to say the name of the fertility clinic because I think it's important. And things might be different now, and I hope it is for them. But the first fertility clinic I went to was the, I think it's called the Towson Fertility Clinic in Towson, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And my experience there, they weren't very LGBTQ friendly or understanding. So I did two IUIs with this particular doctor. I can't remember his name right now, but he was the owner of the fertility clinic. So just, if you happen to get him, if you go there, just be mindful. So I did IUI, two IUIs with no fertility assistance. And then I asked for a meeting with the doctor to say, I want to do fertility meds because timing, and I did the research and IUI percentage rate. I mean, hopefully it works for everyone, but generally speaking, it's real low probability, but it happens.
Yeah.
It is really low if you don't have any help with fertility meds. So I requested to start some kind of fertility. It's so weird. It's such a common name, but I can't remember it.
Like Clomid or?
Clomid.
Clomid. Yeah. Clomid, Avadro.
Yeah. Yep. Drop some more eggs. Let's get some more eggs in the business. Yeah.
Clomid. So we.
Can I ask how old you were at this point?
So I am 46 now. I think I was like 37.
Oh, okay. But still, as they say, geriatric.
As they say, yeah.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
So that was something else in my head that I was like, this is appropriate in my head.
Right.
Yeah, for Clomid. So I said, I want to start Clomid. And I'm still kind of shocked at his response. I get that he was trying to tell me that it's not, there's some negative, there's pros and cons to taking Clomid.
Yeah.
And so he said, actually, like, I always ask couples to try for a year.
You're before. Like, I don't have a year's worth of money, my friend. Like,
well, yeah. That, and number two, like, most of his clients are straight.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. I had no way, like, to try for a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I went into...
a strange thing to say.
Yeah, it's so like, opposite of what we usually hear. We usually hear the doctors are quick to ratchet it up to IVF. So that's interesting.
Right. It is interesting. So then I got my, like, I got to start advocating for myself bullshit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a time where I'm already stressed, but okay. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, try to educate him. I'm like, that's not how that works. Like, what do you mean? Try to have sex for a year? And like
that's sperm for a year.
Don't you know that doesn't work? Like, I don't.
And would your partner in these meetings with you, did he see your partner as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So like, what are you talking about, man?
Right. And she appeared more feminine than I, you know what I mean? So he kind of was like, no. And basically I felt like what he was saying is I'm trying to avoid a lawsuit because he said something like, when you have Clomid, you could have twins, you could have, and then you could miscarry. And like, I don't want you to, something like, I don't want you to come back later and like be upset with me or something. And I was like, and I said, I think I remember saying to him, look, if you're worried that I'm going to sue you, I will write something in writing saying you gave me Clomid, it didn't work, whatever. I'm not going to sue you. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well then we're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Sounds like that might've been what he wanted to begin with, but who can
probably
say?
He probably was on. Maybe
allegedly, I'm saying that for the lawsuits for ovaries could talk. Right. Allegedly.
It really is so strange because on paper, you're 37.
Yeah.
Every fertility clinic I've heard of, as soon as you go in there at this age, is going to say, well, we should try you on some meds. You know, I don't know. From what we've heard from others. So
me too. I was shocked. I was a little bit
biased, actually.
That's what it felt like to me.
Shady.
Or just not educated in our community.
Right.
Or both.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were like, peace out. I'm not staying here.
Right. So then I started asking around to other friends who were starting to try to have kids too in the queer community. And Dr. Hinton at GBMC, which is Greater Baltimore Medical Center in Baltimore, was referred to me. So went there, made an appointment. I did get a little bit of a heads up, like her bedside manner is not mean, but it's not warm and fuzzy.
A little cold.
But it might be worth it because she's really good. So, okay, fine. So went to her and yes, she was that way, but I could also tell like she was more like a scientist in a sense. And that's okay because one of the first questions was like, explain what I tried. And explain the whole Towson Fertility Clinic experience. And I was like, would you be willing to put me on Clomid? And she was like, yeah, sure. That makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
You're like, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I am a doctor now. Thank you.
I know. Wow, we're with a doctor. Great.
Yeah.
So then I started the Clomid. And in my head, in my heart, I was like, okay, this it's going to happen now. It's totally going to happen. And all right, number three. Nah, didn't work. So after that, we did some tests. We test my fallopian tubes. We did all the tests. Mm-hmm. Everything was okay, except for they thought that I had a couple small cysts or endometriosis.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Through the testing, I did IUI number 4, 5, and 6, and did Clomid and trigger shots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, did all the fun with trying to time and like figure out when the eggs are going to drop and just a heads up for those who might be going down this route. When they check to see about if they can see if there's eggs, they do an intravaginal sonogram.
Yeah.
Yep. And so if you don't know what to expect, just expect like it's not what you think it might be.
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And it was like a wand. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I was just going to say the wand. It's
a wand. Like,
they put and a condom on the wand.
And they even have a condom on the wand, which makes you just feel like, huh, okay then.
And they put the lube on the wand. Yeah. They put the lube. And they just,
Right.
They have to look to the left to find the left ovary. And they have to look to the right to find the right ovary. And you're getting this done multiple times throughout a cycle because they're constantly checking for follicles.
Follicles.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
So once I kind of get, like, I knew what to expect with that, that got a little easier, you know. Mm-hmm. But the cool part was, like, it did show us that there were follicles and that there are eggs ready to pop. And I thought that was really cool. So that's kind of worth the discomfort and a little bit of pain. That's really neat that we can kind of like track that way.
It is.
I thought that
cool.
was, yeah. So.
Are you on lucky number 7, I think, right?
Right. So after six, we decided to go ahead and do the surgery
for the cysts
to knock them out. Right. So I had that surgery at GBMC as well. And the doctors also said that, not to get my hopes up, but it's common that there's better chances. Like, she's had more success after the surgery. Mm-hmm. So, but she also did say too, maybe not the first one after the surgery.
Right.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was like,
so we're just going to wait this one.
I know.
You know how much the sperm is costing me?
Yeah.
No, that too. To freeze it and all that.
Plus the emotional stress too.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, because this has already been a journey. I mean, if this is going to be your 7th try, that's not 7 months straight. There's months off in between.
No,
so this has been
it's
a journey.
It's probably been a year or so in this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other fun part that I just want to share is that, so the hormones and everything that's going in you is great. And I was really happy and it does help. The other part that no one really warned me about, which I don't understand looking back, why would no one warn you about, is that your mental health is going to suffer.
Yeah, for sure.
And that doesn't happen for everyone. But
okay, that's good. Yeah.
But it happens. It happened for me.
Did it?
I was a mess on the hormones.
A lot of people we talk to. Mm-hmm. Hormones are not just the expectations and the money and you want what you want and you're waiting. It's a lot.
Yeah,
it really is. And I do wish someone would have educated me on that a little better. But, you know, I guess you learn as you go.
Yeah.
So,
and I think, and sorry to interrupt again, but I think that in healthcare for folks with uteruses, a lot of times it's just, that's just how it is. You know, you can handle it. You can suffer through it. Yep. That's what it's going to be. And there's no, they don't handle it delicately. And I don't know why that it is.
I don't know either. It's
just, well, I think
really
it's
strange.
Just once you get into the scientific pipeline, like you said, they're scientists. And they're just looking at it like, well, let's tweak this. Let's try that. Like, I remember going in 1 month and they were like, I don't know if we're going to do an IUI this month. It just seems like your follicles aren't getting big enough. And then they came in the next day for another doctor. And she was like, oh, don't worry about that. But that first doctor had said, like, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen. And I was just like, I would have never known that. But it's like for them, that's just the science. And for me, it was a complete disappointment of another month after already having a miscarriage and wanting this baby. And it's like, you know, I mean, now that I got the kids, I'm like, it could have waited. But, you know.
But no, but like, that's like, I showed up for my final IVF that didn't end up working. I got into to do the actual transfer after everything had been harvested and everything. And he comes to me. I'm in the hospital gown and everything. And he's like, hi, yeah, your eggs, they don't look good. They don't look good. So I don't know. I mean, we'll put them in, but. I don't think it's going to work. And it's like, thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But they do. They look at this like, this is science and this experiment didn't work out.
And we should say not all doctors, because we have gotten feedback from some doctors who are like, you know, be kind. And we're like, yeah. But it's just, and I'm not saying that as like their bedside manner things. Just sometimes it's like not thinking about the position you're in sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, you know.
I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jamie, did you see that cute pic of my friend's kid in the Baby Mori pajamas on our social the other day?
I sure did. I mean, I posted it.
Yeah.
It was too adorable not to. How cute.
I know. So cute.
I
right? Her parents They love the Baby Mori PJs, mm-hmm. and they love how soft they are and how convenient they are.
I love them, too. Orion looks so cute in his. And Baby Mori creates all the essentials a parent needs, crafted from soft, safe, and sustainable materials. And they use a unique blend of organic cotton and bamboo, which is gentle on a little one's sensitive skin. Aww. And everything is made using ethical methods that have a low impact on our planet. Win-win.
Well, they also have new collections arriving all the time, a mix of parent favorites and new product designs and stylish and unique prints. There is nothing like a cute kid and cute clothes. Am I right?
Very. You are. You are. And not only that, Robin, but Baby Mori are giving our listeners an exclusive offer of $25 off when you spend $50. So you can stock up on the softest clothing for your little one, kids, baby, whatever. Visit babymori.com. That's babymori.com to redeem the code PROUDPARENT.
That is a very fitting code. You get $25 off, everybody, when you spend $50 on the softest clothing for babies and kids with your exclusive code PROUDPARENT.
Do it. Get some cute clothes for those kiddos.
All right, so you're in the place.
I'm in the place. I've got the hormones surging through me. And also, as you may know, I'm sure you do, that if you're taking it, so I have a diagnosed anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. And so I was taking medication for that. Mm-hmm. But before, I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but I think it was a week or two before I tried the IUI, and a period of time after, you can't take your anxiety meds.
Oh, ooh.
So yeah. That was, looking back, I mean, I couldn't see it, I don't think, in the moment.
Yeah.
But looking back, that was really hard for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I also was going to a therapist who was like, you need to stop. You need to stop trying this. Like, have your partner try. Like, you need to stop. You're out of balance. I'm worried about you, blah, blah, blah. And I was, and I did go back to my ex at the time and say that. And I guess we all have baggage. And her response, well, I said, you know what, maybe could you please try? Please try. Like, I don't think I can do this right now anymore. Like, I'm at wit's end and my therapist is saying stop. And, you know, and I said, could you want to try? And, her first response was that, and I guess scientifically she's correct, that people who are, I wouldn't call her obese, but she used the word obese, that your fertility rates are even lower, mm-hmm. and she didn't want to try it.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So I said, okay. Respect what? You. I don't agree that you're obese. I know plenty of people who are, I don't know what the word is, but
same bigger size, but yeah. go through bigger, it and much, get pregnant. Maybe.
Much bigger size than her and have been fine, you know, mm-hmm. but okay. We all got our stuff. And I guess that was one of her things. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So I took a little break, maybe a couple months break, then had the surgery, then tried number 7. Didn't take, then tried number 8 and it took.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And this is where the harder part comes up, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it took and it was amazing while it took. Looking back now, it was cool to have that experience of like, what does it feel like to be pregnant?
Right.
You know, some of the things people have said, like, were true. Like, you know, I have little breasts here and that's cool with me. Maybe one day might even get rid of them. But right now, but it's true. They popped up a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. That's interesting. That's new.
Didn't see that coming.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Now I see them. And maybe a little more. Not in a negative way, but maybe a little more emotional. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what's your partner excited? Like, what's the status of your partner like? And have they been supportive along the way so far?
Yeah. I mean, generally, yes.
Ish.
Supportive and excited. I think she was excited. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was getting blood work done and all that fun stuff. And for a little while, the cells were dividing and it was really happening. Because it's so interesting. Like, I'm kind of paying attention to my mind. Like,
yeah,
the sadness and the trauma and the grief, it's all real. Like, it really does affect everything. Even yeah. now, yeah. like in this yeah. moment, I'm like having a hard time.
Yeah. Well, you remembering take your time.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
So take just interesting to note that.
Yeah. Well, it's still in your body.
It yeah. is. And it just might be forever and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So around 2 months, my understanding is it's like, oh, it's time to book your sonogram and like mm-hmm. see what this growing thing is doing. So I was at work. And at that time, I was working at Gallaudet University. I was staff interpreter there. And I was in my office and my office mate was in the office too. And I just say this because I want to thank her for being there. But and so I got a call and I was like, oh, the doctor. Mm-hmm. Cool. And I said out loud to my office mate, hey, it's the doctor. I bet they're calling to make a sonogram appointment. Do you care if I put it on speaker? Because I want to pull up my schedule and be ready to book it. And are you cool with that? And she's like, yeah, sure. No problem. Like, I'm excited to kind of be involved with it. I said, yeah. So I put it on speaker. It's ringing, blah, blah. The doctor answers. I was like, hey, I got your message. You're calling, I assume, for the sonogram appointment. I can't wait. When can we do it? Like, well, give me one moment. And I guess she pulls up a file or something just to get everything right. And she said, okay, well, we're reviewing your blood work. It appears that your numbers are down. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what does that mean? She said, well, your numbers are down, meaning the cells, it appears, or maybe they stopped dividing. Like, okay. And in that moment, I'm thinking, complete denial, what was really happening. But I said, okay, well, what do I need to take? Like, do you need me to take the progesterone cream or more Clomid or trigger shots or like whatever you need me to take, I'll go pick it up at the pharmacy. Like, just like, sure, no problem. And when we went to book the sonogram appointment, she was like, let me back up. The cells are not dividing, meaning it's stopped developing.
Yeah.
I said, I said, well, what can we do? And she's like, not much, but what I want you to do is get your blood work done tonight if you can, tomorrow and Friday. So I remember clearly it was the Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. And she said, we're just doing that as a precaution, but really from what I'm seeing right now in your recent blood work, it appears that you will miscarry. Mm-hmm. And then poor my office mate is named Pam.
Poor Pam.
She signed to me. She said, do you want me to stay in this room or do you need space? Like, what do you need? And I signed back. I said, if you can, do you mind staying? If it's okay with you, like, I know it's like, do you mind staying? And she's like, yes, absolutely. And I said, okay. And I was like, I'm sorry. And she was like, don't say sorry. Was, okay. Her face was like, again, helped me to get out of denial because she was just like mortified and so sad. So I said, okay. I said, when do you think this is going to happen? She said, well, that's why I want you to go get the blood work done, but maybe this weekend. I said, okay. Still like, what is that? Yeah. Okay. All right. And I said, did I call you? And she said, we'll call you when we get the results from the blood work and we can discuss this further, but we'll call you probably tomorrow after we get tonight's results. Wednesday. So we'll call you probably tomorrow, Thursday. Okay. So Thursday comes and I haven't thought of this technician in a while, but when I went to get my blood work on that Wednesday night, I was kind of a mess and just trying to like kind of hold it all in. And she was just really nice. There's some people who really, a couple people who really showed up.
That's nice to hear.
When other people who you think would be weren't.
Yeah.
At least again, in my perspective.
It is so nice when those people show up for you. It is so nice because it's just such a, it's one of those moments where you're in your own emotional space and the rest of the world is going on around you.
Yeah. Just like, they don't know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So Thursday called me back. They said, yeah, you know, unfortunately, what we saw in the last blood work is what we're still seeing. It looks like your cells have stopped dividing. The numbers are going down. They're not going up. Back up. So Wednesday, when I got that call, got off the phone, Pam came up to me and, you know, hugged me and like, it was just another person who was just amazing.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam.
We're so glad she was. Isn't it funny how the universe works that somebody was there for you?
I mean, seriously, really. Yeah. So yeah. I called my ex, well, partner at the time, and I explained everything and she was upset.
Yeah.
And she said something like, and it's all blur still, but something to the effect of, this weekend, I have to teach. I think it was in Michigan. So I don't know if I should still go or not. And I think
the answer is, by the way, you should not.
Don't go.
Just an FYI to anyone who's listening. The answer is don't go.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Please don't, because it will change everything if you go. Yeah. I mean, it could change everything. I don't know. So I think I basically said, well, let's talk about it when I get home, So I got home. I think we talked about it. I think we continued to talk about it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever. I do remember her asking me, how would I feel if she went? And in the moment, I'm pretty sure I said, I would like you to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like you to stay. I think I need you to be here. And she said, well, something like where she was teaching, they were paying her flight and she didn't know. And she was going to call them and ask what they thought. Okay. So she did. And I don't know what that conversation was, but the result was, I think I'm still going to go.
That's not good.
And
do you think maybe she just didn't want to deal with what was going on?
I mean, that's through some therapy and all that. The thing that I'm trying to wrap my head around that part of it is that maybe, you know, how some people respond to things fight or flight.
Yeah.
Maybe she needed to fly, maybe needed to, or maybe that's just how she deals with these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. But you could still fly after the weekend when you really, really need her the most. Then go
away and deal with it. I mean, I agree, but so I was like, okay. And then Saturday morning, I woke up with horrible cramps and made it in the bathroom and, and then it was, I don't even know how to describe it really, like a horror show or like.
Yeah. It's not easy.
It's not easy. And I don't want to traumatize anyone who may listen to this.
But you are normalizing it, you know, and I think that's important.
It's good to
talk about.
Maybe let people know what to expect.
Yeah. Because I had almost the exact same experience as you.
Really?
Except my wife didn't fly off. You know, but other than that, you know, it's like, and it is, people need to know it's of three of us sitting here, two of us have had this happen. Mm-hmm. It's important to normalize it. And it's okay to talk about the details. It's all right. Okay.
And so often, like I said, like those of us with uteruses, we go into these situations not really realizing exactly what it's going to be. And so often I hear many people, I had no idea. I had no idea it would be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then again, if any medical professional is listening to, like, I think when they called me on that Wednesday or even the Thursday, they could have explained like what
was coming.
It would have been helpful to explain what they said. I remember them saying something about cramps, but nothing about the gore and the really traumatic things I was seeing coming out of my body. I will warn people, there was a lot of blood. And at that time, there's just weird things to remember, but maybe not even weird, but something that I remembered at the time, the bathroom floor had those old, I call them old Baltimore tiles where they're these little
like pennies,
like the penny tiles.
Yeah, the little squares.
Yeah, yeah.
They're yellow, and the grout or whatever it is in between them was white. And I just remember looking down, and it was just like all the blood was in the white grout. It was really like just. Things
by
like
the way,
that.
That's Remember the that. Other ramification of her, not still the right word, but whatever word that it's supposed to be, but like result of her leaving is then you're left to clean that up. Right. Literally.
Literally. Yeah. Which like, is dramatic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
So when she comes home, is there like a big conversation of you left me in this or where are you all at then?
Well, there's a little something that happened in between, not happened, but I think it's part of the story. Mm-hmm. And so I want to share it too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't make me look good, but that's okay.
We share the good, the bad, the ugly.
We don't always look good.
So that was all going on. I remember texting her and telling her that it happened and would she please get in touch with me? And then I called her, no answer. I'm guessing she was teaching at that time. However, I think I would have been watching the phone like obsessively.
Yeah.
But again, maybe she really just needed to not deal at all with it. And so
like you said, that's a common response.
Right, right. You're right.
Doesn't make it right, but it is.
Right.
You know.
Right. So got no response. Now, at the same time, I had a friend who was very supportive. And I think that Friday, I probably got in touch with them and said, hey, like, this might happen this weekend. And I guess I was looking for support from them, just like I would have with any other friend. And I did a couple other people. And so when all this was happening on Saturday morning, after not hearing back from my partner, of course, this person, texts and is like, hey, how you doing? Are you okay? Like, I know you said this might happen this weekend, blah, blah, blah. Like, are you okay? And I was like, texted her back and I was like, no, I'm not okay. And it just did happen. And I don't know. I cleaned everything up as much as I could. Like, I don't know what do I do with these bloody towels? Like what, I don't know what to do. And they said, well, if I don't know what you need, but if you need someone, do you want to meet up somewhere? And she suggested, let's meet at the dog park. Cause dogs bring me happiness and her happiness and all that. So we met at the dog park. I had Sheba and she had her dog with us. And right or wrong, an attachment was formed there. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't sexual. It was like nothing happened that day as far as that's concerned. But
like again, an emotional connection,
100%. So in my brain and my heart, she was there for me in that moment. And that meant something to me.
Yeah.
So she continued to be my support. My partner at the time was trying the best she could, I guess. So to kind of go back to what you were asking about, she came back on Sunday night. And I honestly don't remember having a fight. I do remember just feeling all out of whack and upset that she had left. And also I remember feeling like something clicked in me that changed the way I felt about her.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I just felt not in love.
Yeah.
And I think also that was easy for me to feel that way too, because this other person was showing me all the support that I needed. Mm-hmm. And they were so positive about me and so like pro aim and just made me feel good about myself when I was feeling like shit about myself all this time.
Yeah.
So I told my ex that this person was there to support me and all that. So then after that, I was having a really hard time trying to connect back with my partner.
Yeah.
And I was getting more support from this other person that, yes, I developed feelings with this other person.
It happens.
And when it was happening, I do remember kind of like, I can't believe this has happened. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I would, after a little while, I would kind of actively flirt back. Like, and then after I'd be like, why you stop? Like, stop doing that. It's not cool. That's not cool. Like, so.
Yeah. Cause it has to be such a big moment, because it's not just like, oh, your partner went on a business trip. Like, you all were going to have a baby together. And so that's like, that's a big break, you know, in what happened. And it's, and there's no judgment in any of this. I mean, it's like, we all do what we do, you know, it's like life happens and you could clean it up or not, or, you know,
right.
Was there, like, if you look back, this like immediate, like taking off, or like, you know, the lack of support. And I feel like we talked about this a little bit, like when we initially talked 3 years ago, were there red flags that this had been there all along?
Yeah, I think after that all happened, then I think I looked back and then I did see them. I did see some red flags. So it wasn't just this, but I think this whole thing helped those things come right up to the surface.
Sure. Yeah.
So at first I told my therapist, I think I have a crush on this person. I don't know what to do with that. Should I tell my partner? Should I not? And at first she said, don't tell your partner. Let's just see if we can work this out first.
Yeah.
And figure out what this is, because it might not be anything. Like, you might not really have these feelings for this person the way it feels right now.
Yeah.
So we worked on it a little bit, and then I just started feeling really guilty. And I said, look, I think I'm going to tell. It just feels right. And she said, okay, you know, I'm here for your support, blah, blah, blah. So I remember, I think I had come home from, before COVID, I had actually gone in person to a therapy appointment.
Remember that?
Wow. Yeah.
Remember those days when we got to go places?
I know. I remember coming home that night and saying, you know, hey, like, kind of like, let's sit down. I need to tell you something. And I said, look, I have a crush on this person now. I don't know what to do about it, but I did want to tell you. And maybe you and I should go to couples therapy to figure out what this is, if it's anything, if it's something, and also this whole miscarriage thing and how that happened. And like, my feelings for you have changed. And so she had said, she's like, I knew it. She's like, I knew it. And I was like, what did you know? And she said, I knew something was going on. And I said, nothing physical is going on, but emotional. Okay. And so she said, she defined this whole thing as an emotional affair. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In definition. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. We found a couples therapist. We went to her. Ironically, I think it was like for 9 months.
There you go.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
And in that, you know, we you know, tried to process it all. And in that moment, for the most part, I was like, I think I'm done with this relationship. Those feelings are not back. So the therapist suggested we try a soft separation and then a hard separation before the divorce. So the soft separation, which I learned what that was, is that you're still living in the same house, but I lived in another room. And then I would start feeling like, okay, like maybe I'm starting to feel a little different. Let's try again. So we'd get back, same thing, feelings gone, still having a crush on this other person. So it was suggested we try a hard separation, which means one of us leaves and live somewhere else for a little bit. And at that time, my feelings for this person like tripled.
Mm.
I, at that point, was like, I think I want a divorce.
Yeah.
And I don't think she wanted it and was pretty upset about it. I felt bad too. Like, I don't like hurting people. And
yeah,
I guess maybe another little bit of advice or word to the wise kind of thing. When you're going through this kind of thing, just be really careful who you share your information with.
Ooh.
And I only say that is because I think some people were well-intended, but some of our friends, some people took sides, mm-hmm. which I get. Okay. Some people like decided to like kind of get involved and like went to my ex a couple times and was like, just really stirring the pot. Like, mm-hmm. I think blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. I think she is having an affair with this person and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, again, emotional affair. Yes, we've already figured that part out. Like, but nothing was going on other than that. But so just, I would just be really careful of who you share your information with, the sensitive stuff. My ex and I did have a moment where we literally shook hands and ended up hugging, but shook hands and said, look, like, because our communities are so intertwined, and the deaf community and the signing community and the queer community,
yeah,
is really small and really interconnected. And we're seeing that now. We really need to not say bad things about each other mm-hmm. to anyone.
Yeah.
From my understanding, from that point on, we did keep that commitment to each other.
Yeah.
The other thing too is while we were going through therapy, while I was trying to figure this out, blah, 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 I tried two more times.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I was thinking the baby just kind of.
Yeah. So I tried 9 and tried number 10.
With the same sperm. You had enough sperm.
And
with the intention also that you're going to
do this together?
In the moment, yeah. I mean, we were.
So you really did give this a go. I mean, you guys were really, I mean, you didn't give up. You didn't give up.
Yeah, I think until I did. And then
until you did.
The perspective from my ex was, you're giving up. Like, I'm like, well, yeah. White flag.
Yeah, we've given up. Yeah.
I'm done. We've done everything. I'm done.
Yeah.
We've tried.
Try number 9, yeah. Try number 10. And then I went back to her and I was like, can you just try, please, like one more time? And begrudgingly, I think she said yes. I think to also try to save our relationship. And so she went mm-hmm. and got like a couple tests done, the pre-tests, like your blood work and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So she went to one appointment to start the process. But then after that, I was like, no. And I really think she really didn't want to do it anyway.
Well, and I applaud you because it's not a circumstance to maybe have a kid in.
Well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like that you, I mean, and by the way, divorces happen and kids are okay and life goes on and everything. But like, it's so hard to be a parent if you can not start out in that position.
Right.
That's a you good know, thing. It's certainly better. It's right. Certainly a little more optimal.
Right. Yeah.
So you're processing two things at the same time. You're processing a breakup
mm-hmm.
and you're processing the fact that unless you are going to go be a single parent by choice, you were now saying for now, I'm not going to be a parent either. So you have to process two losses at the same time.
Right.
That's a lot.
So eventually, with all of these little layers, I was like, I have to leave. I have to resign from this position that I was in for 10 years.
Whoa.
And really had a community there. And I still do, which I'm grateful
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really had to say goodbye to some things that I don't 100% think I was ready, but I had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And kind of in this time too, kind of right before the big stuff happened, my mom passed.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's a lot of loss. A lot of loss at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a disservice to just say, oh, you know, where are you with the baby thing? Because it's like, I know that's the through line of our podcast, but like, this is I think a broader, larger story. But like, when you came out of it, you're processing all this loss, you're processing all this grief, and you're moving on from your ex, and you're processing like the kid thing. Are you considering being a single parent by choice? Or are you just like, I just need to heal myself and I just need to move things forward for my own life and figure out what's next for me? Because you have to quit your job and, you know, all these things are happening.
Yeah. I can definitely say that it was all a blur.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that moment, I thought, like, I'm probably not going to be able to have kids. Mm-hmm. Even if it was just because of the mental health stuff. Like, I don't know if I can deal with all this stuff that I'm dealing with, along with having to start my medication, then stop my anxiety medication, and then more hormones, and probably have to do IVF. And mm-hmm. that's a whole other fun hormonal trip. I think in the moment I thought, I don't think it's going to happen for mm-hmm. me. I do want to say, in kind of all this, I think it was about a year from, hey, we're separated, we're divorced, we're not together, to, and then a year after is when I finally resigned mm-hmm. from my staff position there at Gallaudet. Kind of at the end of that year, right before I resigned, I met my current partner. It was amazing. I guess it's been like, we'll be together now for about 5 years.
Oh,
congrats.
I feel like I have one more question to ask you. This is kind of like put a bow on things, but where you two are, is the baby thing done, or where are you two on this?
I think we kind of go up and down or back and forth about that. Both of mm-hmm. us, not just her, not just me, which is good mm-hmm. that we're kind of on the same page about kind of not being unsure. The good thing, I guess, is that, so Ari and I have a little bit of an age difference, which is great for a lot of reasons, actually. It's been working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so she has biologically, I think, plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any like rush or pressure to make that decision. And I've also been really clear with her as well. Like, this doesn't have to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't want this, like, I'm good with maybe later getting another puppy or, or I don't know, getting a farm.
Jamie's got a dog for you.
Yeah, you can have you want my beagle?
You can also have my cat that pees.
No.
You can have them both.
No.
Well, I just think that's such a lovely space to be in. Like, it seems like you're not making any decisions out of past or out of fear or out of, like, mm-hmm. you're just letting it sit, and then you're going to see what rises, and maybe you will and maybe you won't. And it sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you guys will be great either way.
I mean, I keep trying to check myself on that and check her. And yeah, I think we'll be absolutely fine either way.
You're in a good space. Yeah. And once again, I'm going to say this quote that has brought me through so many things in life. Everything will be okay in the end. If it is not okay, it is not the end. That quote, I just love it. And I feel like you have made it to the other side of what you were dealing with then. And you are in an okay space. And that is not to say that in the future you are not going to be in a not okay space. But right now, you have made it through that and you're okay.
Yeah.
And that's a lovely place to be.
It is, because I wasn't okay for a while.
Yeah, right.
I really, looking back, I really wasn't okay.
Yeah.
To even the point of where, I just want to share this, I know probably time, but so I think it's important to share this little tidbit of all that. There was a time in all this where I was like, I think I need to see a doctor, because I gained like, just all the hormones and stuff. I gained like 40 some pounds.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm short. Mm-hmm. I'm 5 foot.
Same.
You and Jamie.
Same.
You and Jamie.
Except like, she's an inch shorter than that.
4'11".
Oh, wow. Soon I will be.
40 pounds on a 5 foot frame is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really.
For a body. Yeah.
Yeah.
To take on.
And I emotionally, you know, horrible. I mean, I still have experienced panic attacks mm-hmm. after all this, but a lot of panic attacks. Like, I really was having a hard time getting stable. So I finally went to a new doctor, not at a fertility clinic. Cause that was the other thing. Like, I was just so scarred from everything that I was getting triggered by even like walking past a doctor's office.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was trying not to go to a doctor's office, but at the same time, I was like, I'm still really not okay. So I finally went, and I went to Brexton, Chase Brexton Health Services, and their client population is pretty much LGBTQ folks.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I thought, let me go there and not have to deal with, you know,
another
all
layer.
The fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other layer of having to explain being queer and all this stuff. So I went there, and he thought that I needed to be on birth control, which was like, I never want to take birth. Like, no. That's never been in my, in my schema for anything, especially that means no baby. That means no baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was, at first I was like, no, I don't think so. And he's like, and he even really did a great job of explaining like why. He said that, you know, there's a little bit of, there's like hormones in this, like a little bit of the hormones you might need to stable you out. And then maybe you don't need to be on it after a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, okay. So I tried it for a year, and it was the right thing to do.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
I didn't fix everything, but I did stable out more. The other interesting thing too, after I started taking Clomid, I started having ringing in my ears. And it still hasn't stopped.
Oh,
I mean, I still, if I take off these headsets and I sit quietly, it's still there.
Wow.
So I don't know what that is.
Wow.
I don't think it's hearing loss. Like, I've had my hearing checked. It doesn't seem to be that. I don't know if it's related to the Clomid or the trigger shots, but that's when it started and it's still with me. But anyway, I just say all that to say, like, at some point after this journey, if you all are still not feeling okay, like, you might want to push yourself to go
get checked out.
Get checked out, get your blood work done, and, you know, maybe be open to taking some birth control if that's what's going to help.
Yeah. Well, listen to your gut, right? We say that a lot. You got to listen to your gut.
Listen to your gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I did.
Yeah. And these drugs react differently in everybody, and everybody True. Has these very different experiences from everything we go through. And that's why this podcast is so important, I think, because
absolutely.
Because we have to hear everybody's different story to figure out where we fit in this whole landscape.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's why we were so glad you reached back out and wanted to share your story, because it's just, you know, it's not perfect for everyone. And it, you know, and everyone needs to hear that, you know, if you have stresses on your relationship, the LGBTQ path to parenthood can put more stress on your relationship. And like you said a couple of times, like, oh, wow, I didn't know that could happen. Well, it's another thing that can happen, and we just all have to be aware. We just have to go into it educated. And so it's so wonderful that you shared with us.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I really appreciate you giving me the bazillion opportunities over these 3 years to do this, and to also understand, like, that I was ready to do it when I was ready to do it. And I think I needed to do some healing.
Yes, totally. And we would
to be able to get here. So
yeah, and we would want you to be in your best space to share. And so thank you so much. And this is also another reminder, just to when you're going into this whole process, know that it most likely is not going to turn out the way you dreamed it would. It is not. But know and aim, your story is a testament to this. Know that it's going to be okay in the end. Whatever happens, it's going to be okay. You're going to get there. And that's the hope that I think people need to hear when they're going through this, because sometimes there are some hopeless moments, as you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you're struggling and you feel like, I mean, I'll just say this word, suicide. Like, I definitely had a lot of moments where I was like, what's the point? Like, every morning I'm waking up panic attack, and, you know, I just can't get my thoughts straight and all that. Like, I would, again, encourage you to just get your blood work done and, like, see if there's anything medically that can help you take that edge off, in a sense. Even though you don't feel like going to the doctor, like, it might be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there is hope. Like, I never thought I'd be where I am right now.
And look where you are. And we're so glad that you didn't take that other path.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, well, thank you so much. What a journey.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Ooh, that was intense.
It was.
Yep. I bet.
I'm just so glad to hear that they processed through it, got help, talked about the pain and the relationship, and that they were ready to tell us about it. And I'm sure it's going to help someone else out there.
I'm sure it's going to help someone else. And I think it's going to help AIM process too. And I think that that's a great, like when those two worlds align, amazing. You know what I mean?
That's whatever it is,
however they work out in the future, whether they have kids or not, it's all going to be just right. That's what we know.
Everything's going to be okay. And absolutely. We love AIM. We love you, AIM. So thanks so much. All right.
Before we go, we do want to take a minute to talk about another podcast that we think is going to be super relevant to all the folks out there trying to make a baby, but perhaps are not having an easy go of it. And I think this is like perfect that we're talking about it in this episode.
Yeah, totally. The podcast is called Baby or Bust. Mm-hmm. It's new. Mm-hmm. We happen to be guests on it. So there is an episode of us. And it's great. It really is.
Yeah. Helpful. And the host, Dr. Laura, she's an influencer. That's what we lovingly call her, Dr. Laura, not to be confused with the horrible Dr. Laura, who's that like right-wing Republican. But her name is Dr. Laura Shaheen, and she struggled as a fertility patient, and now she helps those that are trying to make families, even when the odds aren't in their favor.
Yeah. So on the podcast, you're going to hear answers to questions like, should I freeze my eggs? How long can I wait to have a baby? What is IVF? How do I even get started with surrogacy? When is it too late to have a baby? How do queer families figure out pregnancy?
Which you probably know from us, but that's okay.
You probably know a lot of those things from us, but there's more insight. Yeah. Yes.
And from a doctor's point of view, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. So the guests are fertility specialists, doctors, patients, us, support groups, and anyone who has experienced difficulty trying to conceive.
Yeah. Yeah. For many, the road to conception is a difficult one, which we know all too well. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Shaheen and Baby or Bust are your friends along the way. Let's have important conversations. So listen to Baby or Bust on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And then go listen to us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Double dose.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to catch us on social media, Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, where you can see all of our previous live streams. And support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And don't forget, you're going to get bonus content, for God's sakes.
So much good stuff, for God's sakes. And a huge thank you to our sponsor, Baby Mori. And another bigger, huger, everything. Thank you to all you Patreons who are helping us make this show. We thank you so much. We couldn't do it without you. We literally couldn't.
And we should say even bigger because like people are giving out of the kindness of their hearts. It's not an advertising budget for our company. And as much as we appreciate Baby Mori, we also know that it takes a lot for an individual to just pony up cash just for us to make content that they could have for free. Yeah, so we really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. And on that note, that's it. That's a wrap. It's a wrap on episode 160. Well,
how many? So many episodes. Wow. Look at us. Look at us go.
So many.
All right, for God's sakes,
we're rambling. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. Even Helen said we were rambling. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.